Well, God's grace and his peace and his glory be to each and every one of you this morning. And once again, thank you for being here. It's always a joy for me to have God's people come together and gather. It's always a joy to me to see that people care and are concerned not only about their spiritual growth, but about the spiritual growth of others. My light went out. Good thing the light of the Lord never goes out. I was prepared for that. You know, we started this journey on the Lord's Prayer 9 Sundays ago. You believe it? 9 Sundays have gone by. And in that time, we had a snowstorm, and we had to cancel a Wednesday night church. And in that time, we had a Sunday that was 95 degrees. So a lot has passed in terms of the things that go on around us, this earth, during that period of time. But a lot of things have happened too as we've delved into prayer, our own prayer life, as well as the Lord's Prayer. My goal in all of this was to strengthen your knowledge of the Lord's Prayer. Because let's be honest, many of us, we go to confirmation, what are we, 12, 13, 14 years old, and then we're done with confirmation, and we probably never open our catechisms again. Be honest, how many of you know where your catechism is? Couple of you? Well, let's be honest. How many of them don't have any dust on them? I have a lot of our Bibles. And so we don't spend a lot of time. And remember, catechism is just an explanation of what the Bible would say about certain things. And when we delve into the Lord's Prayer, there's so much of what the Bible says in what we learn about the Lord's Prayer. So some of that tends to pass over us as the years go by. And don't they go by quickly? And don't you forget so many things over time? You know, you got to constantly go back and learn. I have come to know this as a pastor, though. In the time that I've been in the ministry, 30 years, people are saying the Lord's Prayer less and less. The fact of the matter is, I think there's a lot of Christendom that doesn't say the Lord's Prayer at all anymore. Now, given that, could that have anything to do with the way we say our personal prayers? I've been thinking about that. I believe a day is coming, and it may already be here, when people will not know the Lord's Prayer by heart. Many churches are already there. You know, most of Christendom, I would say these days, at least more than 50%, do not say the Lord's Prayer during a church service. And the reason they would say is because it's just so much mindless liturgy. And who wants mindless or heartless liturgy when you come and give yourself in worship to the Lord? As if worship weren't about Him giving Himself to you first. I've had confirmation students come to class. Thankfully, it hasn't happened here, but I've had it in the past. Confirmation students that come to the class, and we get to the part on the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to work on it, and I'll say, okay, let's say it. And I'll go around the room and ask everybody to say it. And there have been confirmation students who could not say the Lord's Prayer, didn't know it at all. You can imagine. To me, that makes me sad, but some of you are getting to know me. I'm old-fashioned. When I raised my kids, we said it every day. Not only are we not using the Lord's Prayer so much anymore, but perhaps then the fruits thereof are getting rotten. Like I said, could knowing the Lord's Prayer mean something to our personal prayer? And if it does, and we're lost with the Lord's Prayer, could that have an impact on our own personal prayer? How many of you struggle conversing with God? That's why I took the time to do this. Like I've said all along, people talk a great deal these days about prayer. Doing so makes you look like a good person. I hear it on the news all the time. I see it on Facebook. I hear it from church members. Oh, I'll pray for you. And then I scratch my head and I think, I wonder how many of those prayers are really being said. And not only that, how many of those prayers are really being heard by God? Not because God's got so many prayers coming at him, he can't take it all at one time, or because God needs some sort of help with his hearing because it's poor, but because so many prayers are being said by people who deny or take lightly sin, and even worse than that, deny Jesus or don't know him at all, and therefore the blood of Christ doesn't cover them, and they're trying to go before God naked or just covered with their own sin. You know, a lot of people, when they look at prayer, at least these days, I've noticed this. Some people think it's like something mystical, right? Like spiritism. Oh, if we just pray, whatever that prayer might be, or if we just pick up some kind of prayer that's already been written and worked for one person, maybe it'll work for me. And so we got this hopeful, wishy-washy manner in which we look at prayer, but not the people of Christ. For we know that when we need an egg, God won't give us a snake. And when we need a fish, he won't send scorpions. Refer to Luke chapter 11 for that. Christians know Christ must be at the center of our prayers. Prayer and our prayer life flows out of this understanding in the Scriptures that we're justified by faith and not by works. And so I wanted to take this time, and I hope it's been refreshing. I hope it's been interesting, and I really hope that some of you have grown spiritually in your own prayer life over the last 9 Sundays. So what I want to do with you today is just conclude it. So here's the concluding part out of our catechism. Like always, I'll say, what's the conclusion or doxology of the Lord's Prayer? And then you say, what's in italics? So what's the conclusion or doxology to the Lord's Prayer? And what does this mean? I'll say it with you. This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. And before I go any further, I'm just going to take a moment, if it's okay with you, and say hello to Chris. Chris is not with us today. Chris is somebody who's been listening online to all of these sermons. He's been listening because he developed melanoma cancer. And he's a little unsure of where this is going to take him. He is taking a form of chemo. But he's very concerned. And so he's been listening to this because he's a good friend of mine. He's my deer hunting partner. And he said to me that his prayer life is more important to him now than it's ever been before because he's gotten closer to his Savior. And that matters more than getting better. You know, I like the way we end the Lord's Prayer. The Bible doesn't have this conclusion. From now on, I'm going to call it a doxology. In the actual words that Jesus taught about the Lord's Prayer, they're not in there. So if you go to the book of Matthew, or you go to the book of Luke, and you look at where Jesus gave the words of the Lord's Prayer, where he taught his disciples how to pray, you're not going to find these words. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. I think you remember when we read that Old Testament lesson, Steve, when he got there to that part in Deuteronomy, the words of King David spoken at a very special time and a very special place. Those words were added to the end of the Lord's Prayer. Probably done by Jewish people, because when Jesus went around as an itinerant preacher, he probably used such Old Testament words at the end of his prayer to call together as a group the Jewish people to better understand how important the Lord's Prayer is. So, we think either the early Jewish community added these words to the Lord's Prayer, or the early Gentile Christian people added them to the Lord's Prayer, because later manuscripts of the Bible have them in there, but not the earliest manuscripts. And I say this because of something funny that happened to me. And I don't know if this has happened to you. I went to a Catholic funeral, and during the funeral, they said the Lord's Prayer. Okay? So I'm sitting there as a Lutheran pastor at a Catholic funeral. Don't let that out in the community. And I'm at the funeral, and they're saying the Lord's Prayer, and I'm saying it with them. And they get to the end about being delivered from evil. And I went on to continue, and thine is the kingdom and the power, and I was about to say, and the glory, and I realized I'm the only one saying it. And everybody else is looking around at me, where did you get that from? You see, Martin Luther thought the doxology, the word of glory that we use at the end of the Lord's Prayer, was extremely important to keep in the Lord's Prayer, even though it only shows up in later manuscripts of the Bible. At any rate, there's another reason why we say it. How many of you are parents of high school students? Go ahead, raise your hand. How many of you have had the joy of looking at one of their textbooks lately? Either a text on science or history or something like that. I mean, you do this as parents, right? You open up their textbooks to look at what they're learning. I mean, it's true now in junior high and even earlier. What do you find? The Big Bang Theory. That's what it's all about. We did not have our beginnings rooted in a word of love from God, creating people like us because He loves people like you. No! Happened chance, bang, and here we are, who knows why. They also teach that we can find our beginnings if we could go back millions, if not billions of years, and find a primordial puddle of ooze and find some bacteria in there moving around. See, that's where you came from. And when you die, you end up in the oblivion of nothingness. I've heard that. Do you know what they say about suicide rates of teenagers these days? Have you heard it? And it's true. It's simple data. In the last 20 years, the suicide rate of teenagers has gone up 25%. And I believe it's because they're not saying doxologies. They're reading this other garbage. Doubt me if you want. I think I can prove my point. Not only that, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to just take a look at life these days while you're out there. What do you see? Have you ever woke up one single morning and turned on the TV or the radio and not heard of a murder or a shooting or some terrible other thing that somebody else has done to somebody else from battery to some kind of car accident? I mean, the bickering, the hatred, the broken families, the financial stress, the health issues, troubles over immigration, addiction, theft, compulsive behavior, issues with the environment, the last big rain we had and all the sewage that was washed into Lake Michigan. I mean, hey, Jimmy Buffett wrote a song. It goes this way. There's the price of oil, the war over the spoils. Bring your bucket of money for the big bailout. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, recession, oppression, depression. Good God, CNN keeps bumming me out. I can't take another doomsday minute. But God bless America anyway. You know it? You see, the reason we end the Lord's Prayer the way we end it with the doxology that we have is not because God needs to hear about His glory and His power and His kingdom. He already knows it all. It's so we know it. Because we need to be hearing it constantly, daily, if not hourly. We say it because we need it. And when we say it, and when we hear God's word being said, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, which are very biblical words. When we say it, it's like God reached out and took our hand and our heart and said, I'll go with you. You'll not be alone. Though you walk through a river, you'll not drown. Though you walk through a desert, you'll not get thirsty. Though you cross a mountain, you'll not get tired. They are words that are meant to inspire, strengthen, offer happiness, and give us hope. And do you know there are hundreds upon hundreds of doxologies in the Bible, spoken in different ways at different times for different reasons? God gave it to people so that they could survive. Not only survive, but flourish. And perhaps the reason we're not flourishing these days in our personal prayers as a family of God is because we're not going out into the world and offering doxologies. Words of praise and thanksgiving. You know, when I was a kid, we grew up with them. And we couldn't help but to sing them. Even though I wanted to get them out of my mind, I couldn't. Because they were a part of our liturgy. We said them. And I grew up a Baptist. At every church service. If you know them, please sing them with me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. That sounds really weird in this thing over here. But there I would be on Tuesday in grade school, and this would be going through my head. Do you think that changed my life and led to where I'm at today? Oh, there's one we sing as Lutherans. Maybe you did. I did. And in fact, I didn't start singing them till later, until I became a Lutheran. And I learned them during a very difficult time of my life because I went into the seminary as one who didn't grow up a Lutheran. And I had to take some 38 credits just to get into the seminary. And I had to take them during the summer in St. Louis. Have you ever been to St. Louis in the summer? It's worse than being under my armpit. It's how bad it is. They were tough times. And I took classes in the morning and the afternoon for the same class. I had to double up. I had to work hard. So I went to this church. It was my field work church. And I had a great pastor. He was into guppies, and he drove a Chevette. And he had this guppy that had been cast out of aluminum sitting on the front of his Chevette. Why I think of that, I don't know. But we used to sing this every Sunday at that field work church. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I could not get that out of my head. And it stuck with me all week, and it gave me the strength I needed to finish summer school. No lying. Doxologies. Wow. Great stuff. That's why it's at the end of the Lord's Prayer. And perhaps, maybe, that's why it should be at the end of your prayers. God is good. And all the time. That's a doxology. Words of glory and praise to God. Use them. Look in your Bibles. Find them. Memorize them if you have to. Whatever you need to do, get a hold of something. Sing it, and sing it out loud if you need to. You want your personal prayers to mean something? Close them with a doxology. And don't make it trivial. I had a trivial one the other day. You want to hear my story about my trivial doxology? I went to the grocery store, and it had been raining, you know, and you don't want to get this beautiful head of hair wet. So you want to park as close as you can to the front door. And do you know what? I got pole position. I got the closest possible parking spot that was not handicapped to the door, the front doors of the store. So I offered up my trivial doxology. Praise the Lord for my parking space. That's not what I'm talking about here, folks. I mean, it's okay to do such things, but you got problems, folks. You got issues. You got stuff going on in your life where you need big help. And it's not trivial, and it's not mundane. It's huge stuff. You don't know it now, some of it, but it'll show up later. Some of the stuff you got going on in your life could destroy your marriage. Some of the stuff you got going on in your life could make you go broke and leave you with nothing next year. Some of the stuff you got going on in life, you don't know. Maybe it's in your body already destroying you. We all got issues and terrible stuff going on in our lives. You need a doxology. You need to be able to, when any of this stuff happens, and whenever you find out about it, and no matter what goes on at any time in any place, you need to be able to say, thank the Lord, praise His name, honor and victory and glory belong to you. For you are my God, and you are my Savior, and I will follow you and only you. You need a doxology. You need a conclusion to that issue. And I'll tell you what, that'll close out that issue. Oh, the sickness may still come. The financial stress may still be there. But the way you look at what's going on, that's what really matters anyway. And the way you treat other people and talk to other people and make a witness of your faith before other people, that stuff, that really matters. There's something else about doxologies and the closing of the Lord's Prayer. The last thing I want to say to you about it, it's transcendent. You know what transcendent means? It's beyond this time, and it's beyond this world, it's beyond the universe. Doxologies, even the closing of the Lord's Prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Those words are bigger and greater than death itself. That's because the Bible says we will endlessly and consistently throughout eternal glorify God and the Lamb upon the throne. And I know what some of you are thinking, that kind of sounds boring. But I'm telling you, you will never, never, ever tire of offering God a doxology with every celestial breath you have. We'll never get bored of doxology sung in heaven at any moment. No, heaven isn't like here. Here we battle, and we battle, and we fight, and we scratch just to get by day by day. But in heaven, there's none of that. There's no pain. There's no sorrow. There's no fears. There's no doubt. There's no death. There's no sin. Every reality of heaven, every experience of standing face to face with God will be an explosion of a doxology of praise. And you'll want it. And you'll give it freely because it'll come from your heart with joy. And here's something really odd that I don't quite understand, but I know to be true from the Scripture. When you offer that doxology, you will not be alone. Everyone will say it in unison. Can you imagine that? A natural doxology that explodes from within your heart, and everybody around you explodes saying the same thing. Because God is so good. So, when you say that closing to the Lord's Prayer, that one up there, that's a foretaste of the feast and the joy to come. Consider yourself in heaven when you do it. Amen.